This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employee seminar held on February 4, 2026 in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Why do they bury attorneys 10 feet down instead of 6 feet down? Because deep down, they're really good people, all right? Y'all laughed a little too hard at that one. What's the difference between an attorney and an accountant? At least the accountant knows they're boring. Why did the lawyer cross the road? Well, to get to the car accident on the other side, of course. Yeah. Tell you what, if the only example you had of attorneys was those billboards you saw driving down the highway, you'd probably have a pretty negative impression, right? Wow. That's why they say 99% of attorneys give the others a bad name. But thank the Lord for exceptions, right? There are exceptions. And we certainly try to work in the exceptions. Been an attorney since 2012, and in our firm, we practice within the Anabaptist community and in nonprofits, and we really, really enjoy that area of law. But we still see our share of conflict. We see a lot of conflict. One of my friends asked me, why are you sharing on this topic? You don't even like conflict. I said, you're right, I don't like conflict. But you know what I don't like worse than conflict or less than conflict? Is an unresolved conflict. That will destroy a company. It will destroy a church. It will destroy anything you get into, an unresolved conflict. The secret to excellence in your business is the collaboration of ideas, learning how to embrace differing ideas in your business. You are not just a potted plant. You are there with God-given gifts. No matter what your background is, no matter what your personality is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your position is, you have something to contribute to the business. But the problem is 58% of employees are either leaving their business or considering leaving their business because of an unresolved conflict. They say people don't leave jobs, they leave people. So, don't allow an unresolved conflict to be the thing that derails your career, that derails your productivity in your business. Learn to view other people as gifts from God that have something to share. And don't be afraid to share your ideas as well. You have something to contribute. The secret to excellence is the collaboration of ideas. Healthy disagreement is not the enemy. I don't like the word conflict. I think the word conflict has sort of a negative connotation, but healthy disagreement actually makes your company better. It is not the enemy. It can be a refining fire. It can be a clarifying tool. It can actually be a catalyst for growth. And we're going to talk about some examples here today of companies that used all the people in the business to help them improve and to get better. And it became a refining fire and a clarifying tool. So the first time I heard about the concept of a brake pedal and a gas pedal was at Anabaptist Financial. That was my second legal job. Second legal job was at AF, and there was a team of five men that were running the business. They were the managers of the business, and they said, yep, this person's a gas pedal, and this person's a brake pedal. I thought, wow, that's interesting. So this person's a visionary, and this person's a cautionary, and they worked really well together. And I learned so much from them. I was there 3.5 years as an employee, and then eventually got busy enough that I now have my own firm, and they are a client. But I learned the concept of people working together. And they were mentors to me, and they just helped me see how this can actually work, even when people have different opinions. How many of you have ever heard of the six working geniuses? Anybody? A few of you. All right. Great. So, you've probably heard of personality tests, maybe the DISC profile, maybe EOS, different things your bosses are bringing to you or your managers are bringing to you. There's one that I've found really helpful, though, and it's called WIGET, the six working geniuses, or widget. W-I-D-G-E-T, widget. And I'm going to describe for you a few of these personalities today, and I'm going to guess that by the time we're done here, you're either going to recognize yourself or maybe someone you work with, and you're going to say, oh, that's the reason why this person always drives me crazy. That's the reason why I can never get where I'm trying to go. Widget, okay? Gas pedals and brake pedals. If you had a semi and you came over 33 across the mountain here, and that semi only had an accelerator, where would you land up? Right? You would either land up in the runaway truck ramp or in a pile of rubble somewhere in Elkton if you only had an accelerator. Now, if you only had a brake pedal, where would you land up? You wouldn't go anywhere. You just sit there thinking of all the reasons why you can't go somewhere. You just sit there and park. Now, imagine if the accelerator and the brake pedal were both pressed at the same time, then what happens? Whoa, all right, you got a bunch of wheels turning and a lot of smoke flying, but you're going nowhere. And so I think that's the reason some employees leave a business. They think, well, we got the gas and the brake pressed at the same time, and we're just spinning circles. We're going nowhere. And then you get frustrated and you leave. So don't leave. Learn how to embrace conflict and make it healthy. Make it a healthy disagreement. View each other as assets to the business rather than impediments to where you're trying to go. So widget. The W in widget is the wanderer. The wanderer. All right, the wanderer is a person who likes to wander out in the dandelion field and look at the sky and think about how beautiful the day is, and he or she is an optimist. They think about what we can be in the future, where we're trying to go. Let's go into new markets. Let's double our growth. Let's go be something great. And they come in the door to the employees and say, hey, this is what we're doing. And the employees go, oh, really, not him again. Here we go. That's so unrealistic. But that's the visionary, the visionary. Scripture says, where no vision is, the people perish. Where no vision is, the people perish. Imagine if you went to work and you just had no idea why you're going to work. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. We're actually kind of dying. We're not really growing. That's pretty deflating, isn't it? So even though that visionary might seem a little unrealistic at times, you need a visionary. Maybe you're the visionary. Maybe you have ideas to share in your company that'll make you better. That's the wanderer, okay? Then you got the innovator. Now, the innovator says, don't just tell me what you want to do. Don't just say what you want to do. You want to go into welding, or you want to expand your market share, or you want to grow. Tell me how you're going to do it. All right? My wife has four sisters, and they have this constant WhatsApp group that goes around and around in circles about, oh, we could do this, and we could do that. And I'm sitting here going, don't just dream what you're going to do if you're not going to tell me how you're going to do it. It's just a waste of energy, right? But they just enjoy the dreaming process. But if you're an innovator, you're saying, tell me how you're going to do this. Don't just say what you're going to do. Tell me how you're going to do it. So you need an innovator. An innovator tells you how we're going to do this. They invent things. They come up with ideas. You know, the thing about an innovator is you might have 100 ideas, and only 10 of them might be good. All right? So you can be an idea generator, but you still need the D person. The D person is the discerner. Okay? So you got the wanderer, the innovator, and the discerner. The discerner can be really frustrating to the wanderer and the innovator because they're the brake pedal. They are the brake pedal. And they say, whoa, 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 just a minute here. Can we really build a rocket ship to the moon? Is that a good idea? Is that a waste of resources? Is that a good expenditure of our energy? Maybe we're going to burn the staff out. We've got an excellent culture right now. And if you put this burden on them to build a rocket ship to the moon, maybe you will actually hurt our culture. Maybe we don't have enough staff for that. So you got the cautionary. And if you're married, maybe your spouse is the cautionary. Maybe your spouse is the first person you should talk to in trying to figure out if something's a good idea, because your spouse can be a good cautionary if you're a visionary type of person. All right, so you got three personality types there. Now you can imagine in a meeting how this could go down, right? You could have a meeting full of people, and you've got brake pedals and gas pedals, and everybody's disagreeing, and you just leave frustrated. I was in a meeting not long ago where there was one accelerator and three brake pedals, and it was just spinning wheels, and it was spinning wheels. And the visionary kept saying, we can do this and this, and the other three said, no, 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 we can't, we can't, we can't. And there really wasn't a productive discussion. It was just yes and no. So there's got to be production. You've got to figure out how to get along and to appreciate healthy disagreement. The key with a discerner is that the discerner needs to pick the right time and the right place in how to present their caution. If the only thing you ever hear from the discerner is no, 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 it can get really frustrating for the manager or the visionary in your company. So just saying no is not the answer. You know, I think it's easier to say no than yes. When somebody calls us and says, hey, I've got a legal question. Can we do this? Can we not do this? It's super easy to just say no. It's really easy. Hey, no, no, I think that's too risky. It's just best to not do that. That's easy. The hard part is getting to yes. So if you want to be indispensable in your company, help your visionary get to yes. Help your visionary get that rocket ship to the moon. Help him or her figure out how to fulfill their vision. And if there are certain things that need to be tweaked and need to be honed, then great, excellent. Help them refine. We talked about refining. Help them refine their idea to where it's better. That's where you're so valuable. You're so valuable as you help refine ideas. And you bring your own ideas. You might say, hey, we could do this. Have you ever thought about expanding into this area? I think this area is ripe for growth, and you can be indispensable. Sometimes I've seen employees become self-protectionist. They become self-protectionist. You ever seen anyone like that? And they say, well, you know, my value to the company is just being self-protectionist. I've got the access codes to the software, or I know I have this intellectual property. I'm just going to be self-protectionist. That is a really annoying employee that probably isn't going to stick around very long. The best way to be indispensable to your company is to make yourself indispensable and to decide that I'm going to be so valuable they're not going to be able to live without me. I'm going to work myself out of a job. Whoa, is that controversial? I'm going to work myself out of a job. I'm going to do this so well, and I'm going to train others around me. They're not even going to need me in that position. And guess what? When they don't need you in that position, chances are you're getting promoted to the next one because they've seen you handle your responsibility well, and now they want to advance you to the next position. But if you get self-protectionist and you just say, no, I'm going to circle the wagons and hang on to these passwords, they want to get rid of you because they view you as a threat. So listen, there is so much talent in this room, and you can make yourself indispensable to your company by buying in and coming to that meeting with ideas and sharing in a healthy way and not just sitting there with your arms crossed. You know, if you have a visionary in your room, and maybe you are the visionary, but if you're sitting there listening to the visionary and you're not sharing your good ideas, are you actually necessary in that meeting? If the only thing the boss hears is this a good idea? Yes, 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 yes. And it's just an echo chamber. At that point, it's just an echo chamber, right? Echo chamber. The boss doesn't need you if it's just yes, 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 yes. What the boss should be doing is inviting your input. If you're a manager here, invite the input of those around you. Not only invite it, but expect it. Expect the input. We want everyone here to share together and pull together and give us your good ideas, and that is the difference between a healthy company that is growing and a company that is dying. If companies actually figured out how to embrace conflict in a healthy way, I'd probably be out of a job. Speaking of working yourself out of a job, right? There are so many conflicts that happen in the workplace and in families because of disagreement. My mother grew up in Canton, Ohio. All right, she grew up with her six children and worked on a dairy farm. Worked on a dairy farm all her life and was just grew up in a very dysfunctional family. And many times she was the only one in her home to go to church. She'd walk to church, get to church herself, get up early in the morning, milk cows, and go to church. Very abusive home, very difficult home. And it's by the grace of God that she got through that. I tell her story because it is possible to overcome. It does not matter where you're from, what your background is. Folks, not every horse starts at the same place on the track, right? Sometimes we sit there, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. She had everything that I didn't have. He had something I didn't have. They started further down the track. Yeah, they probably did. But you didn't control where you were born. You didn't control who your parents were. You didn't control what country you were raised in. All you can control is your attitude right here and right now. And if you buy in, you will make yourself indispensable. Don't just clock in and come to work and take a paycheck. Your manager, your boss can see that. They can see if you're not bought in. They can see if you're just, well, I'm just here on the conveyor belt and I'm just doing my job and just, you know, getting along. And buy into the company. You heard about that this morning. Buy into the company. Bring it. Bring your best, as Arlen said. Bring it. Why not bring it? The sky's the limit. I you know, everybody's wired a little differently, but for the life of me, I cannot understand why some people don't want to bring it. They don't want to bring it. They just, well, I'm just kind of here. Put some energy into it. It doesn't matter where you started on the track. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and you are important. You heard about the body. Shane talked about the body. Every part of the body is important. It doesn't matter where you fit on widget. Every part of the body is important. If you have a brain just sitting here on the table right here, is that brain going anywhere? It's not going anywhere, is it? It's just a brain. Imagine if you have feet. Maybe the feet are running around, but it's brainless, all right? So you've got to have the whole body. You've got to have the heart, the head, the arms. You've got to have the whole body in order to function correctly. It doesn't matter where you fit in the picture. You are valuable. You are vitally essential to the business. So widget, W-I-D, the G is the galvanizer. Maybe you're a galvanizer. Your manager, or if you are the manager, your boss is going to love a galvanizer. The galvanizer says, hey, guys, let's get together. Let's get this together. Let's all start rowing in the same direction. If we were all rowing in the same direction, we could conquer any industry. We could dominate any industry. Let's just row in the same direction. Let's get everybody together. Let's have a good culture. You hear somebody sowing discord? I just read this morning in Proverbs, there are seven things that the Lord hates and are an abomination. Well, it doesn't get much worse than that, right? The Lord hates this, the person who sows discord among the brethren. The Lord hates that. You know who else hates it? It's a business owner. Someone sowing discord. Somebody talking behind someone else's back. Yak, 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 yak. If you have a problem with somebody, go straight to them and resolve it. That's Matthew 18. If you have never read Matthew 18, open your New Testament and read Matthew 18. Go directly to your sister, to your brother, and address it. Address it directly. And build a good team culture. There are a few things that can destroy a culture quicker than sowing discord and talking about everybody else except the person who you should be talking to and resolving it directly. If you can't resolve it directly, and they don't hear you, then take it to your manager. Take it to someone who actually can do something about it and resolve it that way. People will like you a lot better. If the only thing people ever hear from you is encouragement and grace, they're going to love you. You're going to be the most popular person in the building if you encourage other people and you have grace for other people. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always seasoned with, be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. If everything you say is with grace, people can hear you. People can hear you. When everything is seasoned with salt, with grace, they can hear you. You might be the discerner in your business, but if the only thing they ever hear from you is, no, 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 that's not going to be any fun. But if you know the right time and the right place to share your caution, your wisdom, that's God-given wisdom. God-given discernment is a gift, but you got to know when to use it. You got to be tactful. If you just stand on the brakes every time the company's trying to grow or make a new, take on a new challenge, you're going to be unpopular in the company. But if you can learn how to use that discernment, your boss, your manager will love you because they go, okay, wait a minute. Let's hear Sally's opinion. Let's hear George's opinion. Hey, they've got discernment. We better ask them. We better bring them in the meeting. The other thing you got to be careful with as a manager, you got to be careful with who's in the seats. You can get the wrong people and the wrong seats on the bus. And that's why understanding widget can be helpful in figuring out who belongs where. I was in a company recently where they had a person in the, well, we'll get to the next one, E. E is enabler. E is enabler. They had an enabler type personality as the CEO, and it didn't work. And the reason it didn't work is this enabler was a perfectionist, and this enabler just wanted to carry out the mission. They get so frustrated in strategic planning sessions. You got the wanderer, and you have the innovator, and you have the galvanizer, and you have the discerner. all in a strategic planning session, have the time of their lives figuring out what to do. But then you got the enabler saying, just tell me what to do. Just give me the mission. I really don't want to sit here and spend all day planning what we're going to do. Just tell me what to do. That's the enabler. And that person is so valuable, okay? Because if all of your company meetings were just, or your company time was spent in meetings, you get nothing done, right? You got to have somebody actually carrying out the plan. You got to have somebody swinging the hammer. You have to have somebody assembling that truck. Otherwise, you get nowhere. But if you put that person in the wrong position, they get burned out. And they sit there and they go, oh no, okay, so I'm an enabler, and I really don't like strategic planning, but now I'm the CEO of this company, and I have to figure out where we're going, what our vision is. And I'm here juggling, and I'm getting stressed out and burned out because something might drop. So if that's your position, maybe you have the wrong personality in the wrong seat, and maybe you need to rotate somebody out and bring somebody else in with different giftings. They're all important, but they just need to be in the right seat on the bus. It's so important not to let the wrong person drive the company. You know, there's an 80-20 rule. Anybody heard of the 80-20 rule? Sometimes business owners find it very hard to let go. Very hard to let go. I found it really hard for a long time to stop answering my cell phone and stop giving my cell phone out and allowing people to call the business number. Because I thought, well, I want to talk to the people personally. I need to be the one to make the sale. I need to be the one to make the connection. And it was so freeing when I finally let that go and said, hey, here's the business number. And guess what? Sometimes they're going to fail. Sometimes the people answering the phone are not going to give the right answer. Sometimes they're going to fail. You must allow the people working with you to fail. Whether that's your coworker or the people you're managing, you have to allow other people to fail. Now, not failure from sloppiness. Okay, that's unacceptable. You can't have failure from sloppiness. You got to be bought in. You got to be giving your best effort. But you learn through failure. And so if you're beating yourself up because you failed on something, that's the wrong response. Failure is only a training ground for growth. It's only the place where you learn how to get better. And we have to allow each other to fail. Whether that's your coworker, whether that's something you've done, there's going to be failure because we're all human. And you've got to allow failure. Now, I love the exceptions because the 80-20 rule only applies in certain areas. Imagine if you had a brain surgeon and he's about to put you under the knife and he says, well, I believe in the 80-20 rule. If you come out of this surgery 80% with it, then that's good enough, right? No, there's got to be an exception. Some things you have to get done right. And you as a business manager have to know what that is, right? If we're writing a deed and it's supposed to be a 100-acre transfer, and we said, well, we got 80 acres, give or take 20, we're close enough. There's got to be certain things. There are certain things that are 100% margin projects. And so as a manager, pick and choose what things have a little bit of margin in them, right? What things have margin, what things don't. But pick and choose carefully and allow people to fail. In the process of embracing conflict, if you can understand this person is the visionary, let me find a way to help that person get to the vision. Let's refine this vision rather than just crushing it. Don't just say no. Figure out how to refine this vision and make it better. You will be very valuable to your company. The last one is tenacity. T is for tenacity. Tenacity is a person who gets the job done. There is no one more valuable in a company than a person with tenacity. This person says, we're going to go all the way to the finish line. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are, we're going to hit it. We are goal-driven. We're going to get all the way there, and nothing's going to stop us. And your boss will love you because you get the job done. You're not a procrastinator. You know how to manage time well. You're very goal-driven. And I would venture to say there's a bunch of T people in this room, and you're very, very valuable. You make no excuses. You figure things out, and you get it done. And so if you are a T, keep being a T, all right? Take it all the way to the end and use your God-given talent to be a tenacity person. The secret to excellence is the collaboration of ideas. Iron sharpens iron. You probably heard that verse, iron sharpens iron. But sometimes we just gloss over what that means. And we think, well, we can just take a piece of iron right here and set it on the table and take another piece of iron over here and set it on the table. And I don't know. I mean, iron sharpens iron, and somehow the environment sort of makes them sharp one way or the other. I'm not sure how exactly it works. No, when iron sharpens iron, sparks fly, right? But sometimes it's just, it's too easy to say, but we're non-resistant, we're peace-loving people, and we don't like sparks. I was in a meeting once, I was leading the meeting, and a couple of people got into a disagreement. And I just sat there and went, oh, okay, well, I probably shouldn't interfere, shouldn't intervene. But we've got to get more comfortable with disagreement. We've got to get more comfortable with people having a healthy disagreement. And there's a difference between healthy disagreement and unhealthy disagreement. But when it's healthy and we're truly refining one another, some sparks are going to fly. This process involves some pressure, some friction. And even though it's uncomfortable, it can be the best thing for your company. Iron sharpens iron, and some sparks are going to fly. Successful companies don't avoid disagreement. Don't we like to do that sometimes? We think, well, if we just sort of shovel this disagreement under the rug, then we'll all be fine. You know, eventually it'll get better, right? Eventually it'll just go away. It'll be fine. Folks, it's like that moldy tuna casserole that you didn't like the first time that landed up in the bottom drawer of your fridge and sat there a few weeks. Is that tuna casserole getting any better? It is not. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with the tuna casserole. Eventually, it's going to be so bad, it's going to smell up the whole house if you don't take care of the tuna casserole. That's why you got to embrace conflict. It doesn't mean you love conflict. It means you got to embrace it. You got to deal with it before it gets worse. Few things are worse than an unresolved conflict. It can absolutely destroy a company. You go from a very good environment to a very toxic environment fast. This can happen either way. It can happen on either side of the pendulum. You can have a disengaged workforce where you go into a company meeting and you're just disengaged. You're crossing your arms, you're on your phone, you're whatever, you're not engaged. That's no good. That's not helpful. If you're disengaged, you're affecting the company culture. On the other hand, if you're really toxic and you're kind of snippy and you have problems with everything your manager or your boss is telling you, that's not helpful either. So you can be on either side of the pendulum, and neither one is good. Disengagement is not good, and toxicity is not good. So we've got to learn how to structure that disagreement, how to channel that disagreement, use it to refine truth, but it's got to not be personal. It cannot become personal. As soon as it becomes personal, now you're rolling around in the mud and no one's winning. If you are leading a meeting, know when to call a timeout. Know when to say, this is getting too personal. You know the difference. You know the difference between productive and personal. One is helpful, one is not. That meeting I was in with the two parties starting to get pretty animated and the voices start getting a little louder. When that happens, it is not helpful, and I should have called a timeout. But I sat there and said, I don't know, I don't really want to intervene. My fear of conflict prevented me from just stopping the meeting and say, let's all go take a coffee break. Or let's shelve that for this meeting and come back tomorrow when we're all feeling better. Instead, we had a bit of a toxic personal conversation that went on for a long time, and the parties had to apologize after the meeting. That's how tough it got. And so don't let it get there. Know when it's getting personal, know when it's no longer productive, and just call a timeout. Don't let it get personal. When conflict is avoided, bad attitudes fester, mediocrity grows, mission drifts, and courage dies. Wow, that's depressing. Woof. Mission drifts and courage dies. You're either growing or dying as a company. And if we try to avoid that conflict, it's not gone. You've just got discord happening behind you in the background. You're like the ostrich with a head buried in the sand. And the boss is saying, well, everything's fine and wonderful. We were in the meeting and everybody just said, yes, 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 yes. And everything's fine, right? It's just an echo chamber. It's just an echo chamber. Do not allow that echo chamber to stroke your ego. Figure out why everyone is just disengaged and not sharing their real opinion. Invite their opinions, expect their opinions, and bring them into that meeting with you. You just bury your head in the sand, you think everything's fine, chances are you're missing out on really good feedback and probably even a little discord that's happening behind the scenes. Four responses to conflict: avoiding, competing, accommodating, but in reality, we ought to be collaborating. So we talked about avoiding. Competing is another thing. I don't know, competition can have various terms, but I think it's negative in this context. It is not you versus me. It's not my idea versus your idea, and I win or you win. It's not competition. We ought to be collaborating. So let's take the best elements of your idea and the best elements of your idea and come out with the best idea together. That is what is best for the company. It's not about what's best for me or my ego, as you're going to hear this afternoon about ego. It's what's best for the company. What is best for the company? It might not be my idea. It might be yours. It might be a connection of the two, but we need to collaborate together. The other one is accommodating. You've all been to the grocery store. You've all heard the little girl or the little boy in the candy aisle screaming that they want their M&Ms, right? I want my M&Ms. Give me my M&Ms. The whole store knows the child wants M&Ms. And isn't it interesting when you hear the mom or the dad just accommodate? Oh, here you go. Is that what's best for the child? No. And the same thing in business. So you're in a meeting. Sometimes we think the loudest person in the room is right. Right? Sometimes we think just because they're loudest, they're right. That is wrong. Loudest person in the room is often wrong. Because a person who's right does not have a need to yell and raise their voice to get their point across because they're right. And sometimes we just allow this accommodation to drive our meetings. Well, George is really animated about buying this million-dollar property, so we're going to go in debt and we're going to buy this property just to make George happy. We might lose George if we don't give him the property. That accommodation is terrible. It's one of the worst ways to make a decision. You should make a decision as a company for what's best for the company with a collaboration and not just accommodation. Toyota. Everybody knows Toyota, right? They had a conveyor belt. They took a conveyor belt mentality and changed it into innovation. They recognized that there were people putting together trucks and cars that had good ideas. They looked at the widget concept and said, okay, what different personalities do we have here? What different giftings do we have here? And recognized that employees should not just be a rat in a wheel, right? You should not just be a rat in a wheel doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over without thinking about what you're doing. As that conveyor belt goes by, the Toyota employees were invited and encouraged to stop the line if they saw something that was errant. Stop the line. The same is true in your business. Construction, welding, farming, whatever it is, agriculture. Stop the line if you see something. If you see something, say something. You've heard that phrase before. That also applies in business. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. Be willing to stop the line. Stop the line and help your company improve. That's how you make yourself invaluable. You're going to be invaluable to your company. Be willing to stop the line. Say, hey, boss, I've got a question for you. Did you ever think about doing it this way? Oh, wow. No, that's great. That's unique. Now all of a sudden, you're someone very valuable because you're thinking and you're bought in and you actually care about what you're doing. You're not just clocking in. You're bought into the mission. That is what you're after. But if you can't disagree or you get stuck in this routine, then you get stuck in this unhealthy wheel that's not truly getting your God-given talent out of you. There is no person who's not valuable. There's no person who does not have giftings. Find a way to bring your gifts to the table in a way that elevates the company and brings the team together. Instead of just having group think, well, somebody else is thinking, yeah, let's just, yes. You don't want to be a part of the echo chamber. You want to be part of the company that does things the best because it's pulling the best out of everyone. The outcome was Toyota became the global manufacturing standard and actually surpassed GM as the world's largest automaker. Productive conflict scales innovation. If your company's trying to scale, productive disagreement can scale innovation. And conflict reveals whether a leader is committed to improvement or comfort. The same is true with any employee. Conflict reveals whether you are committed to improvement or comfort. It's comfortable just not to disagree, right? I'll just sit here with my arms crossed. I'm not too worried about it. It's not my company anyway. You know, if they want to drive the truck off a cliff, then let them drive off a cliff. That's not bought in. It is not bought in to be disengaged. It is not bought in to just let them make mistakes. Conflict reveals whether you truly want to improve or you just want to be comfortable. And that's the difference between a star employee and someone who's not that relevant. If no one can challenge your ideas, that's pretty dangerous, right? If you bring your idea to the table and you get offended the minute anyone disagrees with you or doesn't immediately pick that up and run with it, that's not good. You have to be willing to share your ideas without getting offended. Jesus was a model of redeemed conflict. He spoke the truth with grace. Back to Colossians 4, speak the truth always with grace. He challenged hypocrisy. He didn't shy away from hard conversations. I mean, he's 12 years old. He's having hard conversations in the synagogue, right? 12 years old. And he didn't let anyone despise his youth. He did not avoid the hard conversations. He refused false unity. The ostrich with her head in the sand believes in false unity, right? A false sense of unity where, well, everybody sounds like they agree, so we'll just pretend like we all do. That is a toxic culture. That's a disengaged culture. We are not getting the best out of people. Yet Jesus never sought conflict out of selfish reasons. He didn't just disagree for the sake of disagreement. Anybody here know, don't look at your neighbor, but anybody here know of someone who disagrees just for the sake of disagreement? Well, it's kind of fun to just disagree and just kind of find a reason why and back and forth. And that's not helpful, is it? So don't disagree just for the sake of disagreement, but disagree when you see something. When you see something, say something and share your ideas. But don't avoid the hard conversations. All right, so my mother grew up in that really difficult environment, as I mentioned, and Grandpa got older. Grandpa was not saved, and he passed away. Now, the one thing Grandpa did well was he had a will, and he had a will that said everything gets shared in equal shares. All six children get equal shares. Now, he was an agriculture farmer, and he had a beautiful big farm, and he had an oil rig on the farm. They found oil. It's a very nice place. That was the majority of their estate. And the problem was, once he passed away, one particular sibling got in kind of close to Grandma, and all of a sudden the will got changed. Whoa! The will got changed, and the entire farm and house and oil rig went to one sibling. Whoa. So my mom lived in Virginia, and she had a lot of grace. She had a lot of grace. She forgave. She moved on. But the one brother drifted from the faith, and it caused a division that lasted for decades. This was years and years ago. For decades, this family had a huge split, huge problems. An already dysfunctional family got worse. And the moral of that story is unresolved conflict, unhealthy disagreements that are not resolved just get worse and worse and worse to where you don't even care about what the other person thinks anymore. You don't care about stomping on their feelings. You don't care about what it does to your relationship. You just take what you can take. And that is why it's so important to build relationship capital in the bank. Build relationship capital in the bank. If you don't have a healthy relationship with your coworkers, you will do things you'd never think were possible. Right? Sometimes you'll say things. You say it and you go, wait a minute, I just want that back. But the lack of relationship, as we heard about earlier this morning, can cause you to do things you would never normally do. And you will say things you would never normally say. So build relationship capital. This is one of the best investments. You want to talk about investments in your company. How can I make myself valuable? Build relationships. Good, healthy relationships. Not toxic relationships. Not sowing discord. But just being an encouraging person. A positive person. Someone who's leading and thinking about how we can be better and how we can grow. And you're upbeat and you're on time for work. And you're excited about the mission. You're buying in. That is the optimum employee. People love those kind of employees. And you know what? I still believe it's an employee's market. I think so. Maybe you disagree. I still think it's an employee's market. If you are someone who comes to work excited about the mission and bought in, they can't pay you enough. Whoever your company is can't pay you enough. You're extremely valuable because you're coming there, you're bought in. You're excited about the mission. Every time they see you, they see a smile on your face. They see you as someone who's building the company up and not tearing it down. You're not just disengaged. You're not saying toxic things. You are engaged, bought in, and you're embracing good, healthy ideas. You are part of the body, and you recognize how you can be a great asset in your business. Widget. Doesn't matter where you fit on that scale. It doesn't matter whether you're an accelerator or a brake pedal. It is a God-given gift that you have. And it's very easy to just believe lies. Well, I didn't start at the same place in the track as the other person. I started at a different place than they did. So I'm insignificant. I'm not as smart as them. I'm not as this as them. I don't do that like them. Guess what? God created you, and there's only one of you. There's only one single one of you. Think about snowflakes. We've had a bunch of snowflakes lately, right? Every snowflake is individual. It is unique. It is special. It is perfect. God made you exactly how he wants you to be. If he wanted you to be somebody else, he'd have made you somebody else, right? If we had all accelerators in the truck, we would go nowhere. If we had all brakes in the truck, we would go nowhere. We need you. We need every single one of you. You bring unique talent to the table. Don't ever let anyone tell you differently. My mother overcame unbelievable adversity, raised 7 children. Every single child loves the Lord. She overcame unbelievable odds. You can do it. There is no place you can start that God cannot bring you through, that God cannot use you. And your trial will become a testimony if you allow it to be. It can ruin you. I've seen that happen. I've seen people become bitter. Well, I had a really tough life. I lived in a bad environment, and everyone was mean to me, and I was bullied. Guys, I was bullied. I was bullied as a kid, okay? God can still use you. God can use you no matter what you've gone through. God is not someone who will abandon you if you seek him. If you seek him and you be all you can be in life and in business, you will have an amazing impact for him. Don't ever let somebody tell you that you are not valuable. You are. It does not matter what your gifting is. It doesn't matter what you fit, where you fit on the spectrum. It doesn't matter what your school teacher told you. It does not matter what happened to you. You are valuable. Don't ever let anyone tell you different. You are valuable. You have gifts, and your company needs you. If you're bought in and you share your ideas, they will be better off for it. God bless you.